This being the first week of Advent, Glory will now come forward and share with us a short Advent message and then light the first candle of the Advent wreath, followed by the pastor in delivering God's word to us.
Well, it's that time of the year again. We're happy that we can celebrate the birth of a Savior. What a wonderful opportunity to give that it gives us to share with our friends and neighbors and our relatives, because now hearts are more sensitive and hopefully more open to the gospel. The messenger, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill made low, the crooked straight, and the rough places plain. From Elijah to Malachi to Zechariah to Elizabeth to John to Jesus, this is a story of Advent, of waiting, of getting ready. Once there was a man of God by the name of Elijah. He lived long ago and was a prophet, one who speaks the word of the Lord. He lived in the wilderness and wore a coat of sheep's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He warned people to repent of their sins and turn back to God. Later, God made a promise about Elijah through another prophet whose name was Malachi. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. I will send you the prophet Elijah. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Malachi was not the only prophet to tell of a messenger. Isaiah also spoke about one who would prepare the way for the Lord. These promises were written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. For all that time, people waited and watched for the messenger Elijah to come to help them get ready for a Savior. Finally, the waiting ended, and the first sign of this messenger came to Zechariah, an old man who belonged to one of the priestly families in Israel. During a week of Zechariah's service in the temple, an angel appeared to him. The angel Gabriel appeared, and his message was astounding. Zechariah and his wife were going to have a baby, and they were to name the child John. Their son would be a delight to them and would be great in the sight of the Lord. He would go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah knew about this ancient promise of a messenger, but he and his wife had never had any children, and they were far too old. Because Zechariah did not believe the message, the angel said another sign would be given, and that would be that he would not be able to speak until the baby was born. Zechariah and Elizabeth did have a baby, and when Zechariah wrote that the child was to be named John, he was able to speak again. Zechariah began to praise God, saying, "You, my child, will prepare the way for the Lord to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins." When John grew up, he lived in the desert. He wore a coat of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He was called John the Baptist because he baptized people in the river. People came from all around to hear him preach. His message was a prophet's message, the message of Elijah. He told his listeners to repent of their sins. When Jesus spoke to his disciples about this John, he told them that John was the promised messenger and the Elijah who was to come. Later, all of the gospel writers also reported that John was the messenger that Isaiah and Malachi had written about. John was not Elijah come to life again. Rather, he was the last of the prophets who came before Christ, the last messenger to warn people to get ready. John preached, as the angel Gabriel had said, in the spirit and power of Elijah. The message of Elijah, Isaiah, Malachi, John, and all of the prophets was an Advent message, a getting ready message. They preached that whoever would welcome the Savior into their lives must first prepare the way by repentance. Our ways are crooked and rough, and our hearts are lonely as a desert. It is only when we admit that we are sinners and turn away from our sin that we are made ready to receive the forgiveness of the Savior, then the Advent waiting is over and Christmas arrives.
We will now light the first candle on the Advent wreath, which is named the Prophecy Candle, for it represents the period of waiting that preceded the birth of Christ.
I just want to ask you to turn to John chapter 7, verses 37 to 41. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 41. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ," or a Hebrew would be Messiah. "He is the Messiah," or the Christ in Greek. Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the Scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem?" Actually, it says from David's seed and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived. Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the signs of Advent. We're going to be looking at 4 signs of Advent. Advent means the coming or the arrival. What we celebrate as Christians is the coming, the arrival of Jesus Christ into this world as a man while continuing to be fully God. Paul expresses it like this in Colossians 2:9. "In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form." Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7 says this, and that this passage was already read this morning. "Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." There was a time, a moment in history, when Jesus, while remaining fully God, left heaven's glory, stepped out of eternity, and stepped into time, being born into this world. Many signs pointed to this grace-filled, miraculous, humble advent of God's coming to live on earth. This morning we want to look at the signs of the prophecies of God's Word. When Jesus spoke of his reason for coming to earth, this is what he said, 2 different places. "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." That was why he came. Another place he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus Christ came to earth because his creation was lost and needed to be saved, needed to be ransomed back to God. Jesus came to earth to pay the ransom price for sin by living a perfect life on earth before God the Father, and then going as a perfect sacrifice to the cross to die as a sacrifice, as a payment for sin. And God showed that he accepted that payment and sacrifice by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. "I have come to seek and to save what was lost. I have come to give my life as a ransom for many." The Bible begins with Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1, we see God creating the heavens and the earth. It's like the curtain opens up and shows us the stage upon which the drama of history is going to be unfolded. Then in Genesis chapter 2, human beings, the actors in this great human tragedy, are brought upon the stage in all their innocence, in all their glory, created in the image of God. And then in Genesis chapter 3, we're introduced to the tragedy of man's rebellion, man's fall into sin, man's lost condition, as explained and described. And it's in the midst of this very tragedy, I would say even on the very day that it happened, that God begins to prophesy an advent that will bring salvation to mankind. God's first response was His grace, even though He brought judgment upon man's sin. This is what God said in Genesis 3:15, as He addressed Satan and said this, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you on the head, and you will bruise him on the heel." First thing that we notice in this verse is it talks about the seed of the woman. That's not what the Bible usually talks about when it talks about the generation and procreation of mankind. It talks about the seed of man. All the genealogies are basically from man and this man's son and this man's son, and it's through the line of the man. But here he talks about the seed of the woman. Very unusual language in Scripture. I wonder if even at this point God knew that Jesus Christ would be born of a virgin and that His advent would be coming through the seed of a woman. I think He did. Also, the sex of this seed is given as male. He will bruise your head. Did God know that He would send His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be that seed of the woman? And then finally, this prophecy tells us that He will bruise the serpent's head. His heel will be bruised. It won't be a painless operation, but He will bruise and crush the serpent's head. And we're told clearly in the New Testament that at the cross, Jesus Christ disarmed all authority and all power and won mankind back to God. Here's the first prophecy following upon the very footsteps of man's rebellion against God, that He would send a Savior to the world to save humanity and bring humanity back to God. A little bit later in this chapter, in verse 21, we actually have the first picture of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in Scripture for sin. God clothed Adam and Eve, it says, with skins to replace their fig leaf clothing. And for Him to do that, an animal or a number of animals would have to be sacrificed and blood would have to be shed. This shedding of blood foreshadows the death of Christ on the cross and the shedding of His blood for the forgiveness of sins to clothe us with the righteousness of Christ before a holy God, a righteousness that God would accept in Jesus Christ. So from the very beginning, there's a prophecy of the advent of salvation coming to us, and now we know that that came in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years later, God called a man named Abram to follow Him. And this is what He promised Abram as He called him to follow. He said, "All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." Later on, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. Even though He had not yet given Abraham the promised son that He had promised him, the heir that He'd promised him, He called him the father of many nations. And finally, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old, God did the impossible and brought to birth Isaac to them. Later on, Abraham was tested by God, and God asked him to give up this very son, his only son, it says in the text, as an offering to Him. And Abraham obeyed. He knew that God was leading him and guiding him in this very unusual request. And then at the last moment, God stopped Abraham and gave him this promise, another prophecy of the future advent of the Christ. Here is the promise that God made to Abraham. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your seed all the nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And through this obedience, Abraham actually is called the father of faith, and we are sons of Abraham as well as we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We're told in Galatians that the seed of the woman and the seed of Abraham are Jesus Christ, the one who came. The seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God raised up the nation of Israel. In Genesis chapter 49, we find Jacob on his deathbed prophesying over his children. And to Judah, Jacob says this, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. The obedience of the nations is his. Jesus is descendant of the tribe of Judah. He's called the Lion of Judah. And again, his advent is prophesied that one day one would come and take this scepter, be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and rule over the nations. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy as well. In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses prophesied that God would raise up a prophet like him that the people of God should follow. And that's what we find in John chapter 7 when he says, surely this man is the prophet. The one that Moses was speaking about, that's what they're talking about here. Not just a prophet, but the prophet. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, your own brothers. You must listen to him. And then later, King David foreshadowed the coming of the King, Jesus the King. God promised to David this, I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. Speaking here more than just Solomon, his son, but Jesus Christ, the son of David. Isaiah prophesied, in that day the root of Jesse, which is another term for David, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. And again, verse is quoted as fulfilled in Romans 15:12, Revelation 5:5, and Revelation 22:16. These great prophecies of God's advent fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Over and over and over again, God brought before Israel new pictures of the coming advent. He brought to them new prophecies, and he reestablished some of the old prophecies, confirming those old prophecies that he had given. God told of a suffering servant in Isaiah 53, of his anointed one in Isaiah 61. Anointed means Messiah or Christ. In Daniel, we are told of the time of Christ's coming and of his death. We're told that he would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. We're told of his virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. We're told of his great authority and majesty in Isaiah 9:6-7. To us a Christ is born. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Old Testament is full of prophecies of the advent of a Savior, the seed of the woman, the seed and the son of Abraham, the prophet like Moses, the ruler, root, and son of Jesse, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. Throughout the history of Israel, God was prophesying, illustrating, pointing to the advent of His Son, Jesus Christ. Those who worshipped God and knew Scripture expected an advent to come, looked for it, had glimpses of what to expect and what to look for. And then one day, it happened. God stepped out of heaven, stepped onto the stage of earth, and became the salvation for mankind that God had been promising for centuries and centuries. In the last chapter of the Old Testament, we read of the prophet Malachi as he promised, "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." And then God stopped speaking to his people for 400 years. And there was a waiting and an expecting. When will God speak again? When will the Messiah again come? When will the prophet come? When will the seed of the woman come? When will the seed of Abraham come? When will the son of David come? And then one day, John the Baptist came. He came preparing, he said, the way of the Lord, the way of the Messiah. One of the first things Jesus did as he began his ministry was to clear the temple in Jerusalem, fulfilling the prophecy in Malachi. The Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. And he did. The Jewish people knew the prophecies. They knew the Christ was coming. And so we read in John 7, "This man must be the prophet." Others said, "He's the Christ." And of course, he was both. Others said, "How can Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" And of course, we know that indeed he was born in Bethlehem. The prophecies and pictures in God's Word were signs pointing to the advent of Christ. In Luke 24, after Jesus' resurrection, he's walking along the road to Emmaus with two discouraged disciples. They believed that Jesus was the Christ, but now he was dead. How could he be the Christ? How could he establish the kingdom of God? He was gone. They were disillusioned, discouraged. And Jesus begins to walk beside them. And he said this, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ, or the Messiah, have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. Later the same day, Jesus is with the disciples, and he says this, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." The prophecies of the advent of Jesus Christ, the prophecies of his suffering and his death, were all fulfilled in detail as God had prophesied. He had told them. He had fulfilled his word. I like what it says at the end of the prophecy in Isaiah, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." God does not speak things and then maybe he'll do it and maybe he won't. He fulfills all things that he speaks about in his word. In the Old and New Testament, we find prophecies of another advent not yet come. God has promised that Jesus Christ will come again to this world, not as a baby this time, not as a sacrifice for sin this time, but as the King of Kings, as the ruler of all, and as judge over all. Jesus Christ is prophesied to return as the final Savior of His people and as the judge over all people. I love that verse in Hebrews 9:28. It says this, Jesus will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Are you ready for the second advent of Jesus Christ? Either you will be here when He returns, or you will die and stand in His presence. Whatever way it occurs in your life, you will be standing before God one day. As sure as I'm standing before you today, Jesus Christ will return to earth. As sure as God is true to His word, everyone will stand before God to give an account of their life. God said it in His word. God will fulfill it in each and every life. Only those who have Jesus Christ as their Savior will be allowed into heaven. God is very clear about that. He didn't send His Son here as an option. He sent His Son as the only way to salvation and to eternal life. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but the name Jesus Christ. In this season that we're celebrating, in our first advent, the first advent of Christ, we also await the second advent of Christ. As the Word of God prophesied the first advent, so He's prophesied and warned us about the second advent as well. The Word of God tells us to make sure we're ready. Be face to face with God by putting our trust in Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready to stand before the Creator of all men, before Jesus Christ, the Judge of all men? Jesus Christ is coming again to take those He has saved to be with Him forever. I pray that if you're not anxiously awaiting the return of Jesus Christ, that by the end of this Advent season, you will be anxiously awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. And you'll be rejoicing that Jesus Christ came to earth to save a sinner like you and like me. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I have come to seek and to save what was lost. I have come as a ransom for sin. But He's coming again, not as a sacrifice, not as an offering, but as the reigning and ruling King and Judge of all. Are you ready? Let me read to you the last part of Philippians chapter 2. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's the first advent. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place, gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want you to go home today sometime and just imagine what it will be like to stand before God the Creator in all of His holy majesty, and what you're going to say to Him in your own defense on that day. My defense is going to be, Jesus Christ, Your Son, died for me on the cross. I have no other argument. I have no other plea. Jesus Christ died for me. Any other argument you present will just fall to the ground. In fact, it says in Romans 3, we'll all be speechless and silent on that day. Jesus Christ is coming back. You're going to meet God one day. Be ready. Let's bow for a few moments. And it says in Romans, if anybody who will call upon the name of Jesus Christ, he will be saved. And if you have that tug on your heart, I'm a sinner, I need God in my life, Just whisper in your heart, God, save me in your Son, Jesus Christ. God will lead you to His Word, to greater understanding. Let's be quiet for a few moments. Father, by your Spirit, I just pray that you might make this picture of standing before you very evident in each one of our lives. Those who know you, those of us who know you, will appreciate in greater measure the sacrifice of your Son, the forgiveness of our sins, and your grace to us. And those who do not know you, Father, will be drawn in the fear of God to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, that you told about Him in the Word, that you fulfilled your promises. Thank you again that He's coming one day to rectify all things, to bring justice and truth and love to light. In Jesus' name, amen.